Good morning. The scripture reading will be from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In July of 1969, we arrived at the moon. And the words of Michael Collins are significant. All this is possible only through the blood, sweat, and tears of thousands of people. All you see are the three of us, but underneath the surface are thousands and thousands of others. It was Catherine Thimesch who wrote the book Team Moon. And what she reported in that book was that it took 400,000 people to make that happen, which is an impressive thought, isn't it? Radio telescope operators, parachute designers, engineers, mechanics, soldiers, contractors, software engineers. To give you some perspective on what this actually took, there were 500 people who worked together on the space suits. They had to get them just the right color. It was Neil Armstrong who would later say that as he took his first step on the moon, he immediately thought about all those 400,000 people who had given him the opportunity to take that very first step. You know, it takes a lot of people to do the work of God. And so, because of that, we need to come together. And that's what we're reading about in the second chapter of the book of Acts. People coming together. It says in verses 42 and 43, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Now, to give you some perspective on how many people we're talking about, if you go back to the 41st verse, you know that 3,000 people had come to faith in Christ at the response to the Apostle Peter's preaching at the day of Pentecost. And so there are thousands of people who are gathering together, and they're breaking bread together, they're praying together, they're fellowshipping together, and they're devoted to the apostles' teaching. The word for devote is a wonderful word, proskartareo, and it means to give something intense effort. And it raises the question for you and me, is our effort in worship, is our effort in the reading of God's word every single day intense? And what this implies is that it may be difficult, but you persist in it. And what I believe as I look at this table is that if Jesus could suffer and die on the cross, I can certainly give my daily attention to God's word. One of the ways that you might practice this approach is by reading a booklet that we provide for you at the Welcome Center called The Secret Place. And I would encourage you to do that. To read God's word every single day and to know that God is speaking to each one of us through the scriptures. So they were hearing God's word, they were in fellowship, they were having communion together, and they were praying together, and God was doing miracles in their presence. This would cause people who were not yet believers in Jesus Christ, who were watching what was going on, to open up their hearts and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. These people were blessed. I'm reminded of the psalm, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season, and his branches shall never wither. So what is Psalm 1 saying to you and to me? If you want to be blessed, you have to hang out with the right people. If you want to be blessed, you have to be in the Word of God. And what does Psalm 1 say? Day and night. All the time. We're in the Word of God. So we commit it to our hearts and we commit it to our memories. We commit it to our very souls. The Word of God. And that results in our blessing. So these people were very different from everyone else in the city of Jerusalem. It says in verses 44 and 45, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. In our congregation, we address needs through our deacons and deaconesses' discretionary fund. And many of you contributed to that this morning. Those funds go together and help people with groceries, helps people to buy gas, helps people to pay various bills. And we help several people every single week. In order to give freely, we need to remember that everything that we have is temporary. I may have money in the bank, but it's only for a few years. I need to be a good steward of what God has given me for the brief time that I'm on this earth. It was Chuck Swindoll who once wrote, being unselfish in attitude strikes at the very core of our being. It means we are willing to forego our own comfort, our own preferences, our own schedule, our own desires for another's benefits. And that brings us back to Christ. It was the Apostle Paul who was writing to the Ephesian elders, speaking to them about what he had done in their midst while he was living in Ephesus. And he said these words in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's where the blessing comes from. Not in the receiving, but in the giving. So one of our church members is giving a kidney to another church member. And I can't think of any act of devotion and sacrifice in this family of believers that could parallel that. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? So they're worshiping together, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, this is a significant thought for you and for me, because the Christians are not loved by all the people living in Jerusalem. But they're out in public worshiping together, and for centuries God had promised a Messiah. Jesus came into our world and showed us how to live together. And together is a very important idea because some of us don't like to be together with people who are different from us. But Jesus showed us what that means to be together. He helped a Roman centurion by healing his servant. He brought mercy and grace to a Samaritan woman at a well. He brought healing to a Syrophoenician woman's child. He forgave tax collectors. He healed those who were suffering from leprosy. And then Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he didn't die for some people. He died for all people. He died for everyone in the world. And in this second chapter of the book of Acts, the believers were worshiping Jesus in a public place, not very far from where he had been crucified, and not very far from where he had been resurrected. There is new life in Jesus Christ. It's available to everyone in the world. Last month, I had the privilege of seeing one of my friends, Annie, at the Biennial Mission Summit in Virginia Beach, as American Baptists gathered together from all over the world. She and her husband Jeff have a ministry in Bangkok, Thailand. It's called Nightlight. They rescue people who are trapped in human trafficking, who have been brought to that city and spend their nights in nightclubs connecting with people. What Jeff and Annie do is they hold worship services together so that people can come together and hear the gospel, and they can escape this life that they have been living, human trafficking, come to faith in Christ, learn a trade, and be able to begin a new life, a life in God. Jeff preaches the word of God to a group of people, and many of those people have migrated to Bangkok from northern Thailand. Each day I pray for an individual whose name is Gomer, and that's because Annie posts about this individual on Facebook all the time. And I'm praying that Gomer comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm picturing them worshiping together in that well-lit room in the ministry center that they have. And I can picture it because I've been there and I know what it looks like. And I think to myself, it's so much better that they worship together there than in the nightclubs of Bangkok. This public place that everyone is welcome to and invited to, like this very room that we're in right now. It's a place that you may invite people to. And I would encourage you to do that, to invite people into this public space where we can worship God together in spirit and in truth. Not everyone worships God. As I was driving here today, I noticed a number of people who I was pretty sure are not going to worship God this morning. They're on their bicycles. They're running in various places. And they look like they're kind of wrapped up in themselves. On this, the day that the Lord has made, this holy day, this first day of the week in which we come together and worship God in Jesus' name. It says in verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of Hebrews is reminding us that worshiping God or not worshiping God is a habit. The word for habit, ethos, can be translated custom. So what is your custom? What is your habit? I hope it's to worship God. Why is it important? Because God deserves to be worshiped. God deserves the very best that we can bring to Him. God deserves our presence as we sing to Him and pray to Him together. He deserves to be worshiped, and all the more as we see the day of His return approaching. So it says in verses 46 and 47 that they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love the thought of gladness here. They're glad as they're worshiping. And the word for glad, agalizai, is the same word that's found in the first chapter of the book of Luke. And this was when a woman by the name of Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, watched as her kinswoman Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, walked into the door. And what she said to Mary is that the baby within her leaped for joy or gladness at the moment that Mary arrived. It's the very same word, gladness and joy. People are attracted to gladness. And so the church was growing daily as people were being saved. When I think about being saved, it brings joy to my heart. Does it bring joy to your heart? It should. It should make you happy. It should make you glad. It should make you joy-filled. And so we need to share this message in public, but we also need to share it in homes as well. The Apostle Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, and he said, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." That was his style. He did public worship and spoke the word of God to people. But he went into people's homes and shared the very same word of God. And we do that here. People gather together in homes and pray together, worship together, read the word of God together, and encourage one another. It's a beautiful thing to be able to gather together in homes and do the very same thing that we do here in this room. Now, the word together shows up in this passage, and it's a really neat word. It's translated in Romans chapter 15 and verse 6 with one accord. And so we read these words, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So are we in one accord? Are we with one voice as we worship our God? God wants us to be in unity. God wants us to come together. God wants us to be together. But we live in a world that's divided by politics, by race, by religion. There is so much anger and hatred in this world in which we live in. But when we come together in Jesus' name, we are truly together. The church can glorify God together and serve God together if we come together. I read recently about a Palestinian baby that was abandoned at birth, put on a roadside heap of trash, but was immediately rescued by some doctors, and then nurtured and cared for by a group of nuns. This child's heart was in trouble, and so it needed surgery. She was born with a large hole between the chambers of her heart, and her lungs were not receiving enough blood. So what the doctors did was they took the baby to a Jerusalem hospital. They said she was skin and bone, and that's it. But then they operated on her heart. And you know what was interesting about this story is that these nuns who had cared for this baby when they found her raised $11,000 to pay for all the hospital costs. This child has made a full recovery. And it reminds us, dear friends, that there are people out there in this world who are dying. They're dying because they are without Christ. Do we care? Are we concerned? Are we working together? Are we coming together in order that people may be saved? We're to be together, used by God, for lives to be saved for eternity. Not just for a few years on earth. No, but for eternity. And when we come together, we need to remember the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. So Jesus is present right now, in this place, and at this time. He's right here with you and me to give us the power that we need in order to do the things that Jesus has called us to do. And so as we come to this table, we're reminded of all that Jesus did for you and me so that we might have the gift of eternal life and live with him forever in eternity. Let us pray. Father, we want to give thanks to you for eternal life, for the cross, for the blood of Jesus, and the atonement, which makes it possible for us to celebrate and worship you for all of eternity. We give you praise and glory together as we are together in your name with you present among us, gathering together around this table to break bread. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.